Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome. We're so excited to have you here with us at Love Connection again today. This is a very special day. It is the Resurrection Day. It's our Lord's Day, and we are excited, excited, excited. And as always, we're just glad that you're with us, and we have decided to launch a new thing. We are going to have sermons for you. We're going to have teaching for you. We're going to have all kinds of ways for you to learn and to grow, to know that Jesus is coming back. And I'm going to launch us with today's sermon. And we will be talking about after breakfast, then what? We'll be coming from John, the 21st chapter, the 1st through the 12th verse. After breakfast, then what? God's blessings be with you. We're going to listen first to Yolanda Adams.
My heart.
Amen, amen, amen. Open up my heart to you. You know, she said she wanted them to make the difference, didn't want to make the mistake, wanted to know exactly what needed to be done so that she didn't make the mistake. We are so glad that Yolanda Addison is such a powerful singer, and she reminds us that in order for us to have that relationship with God, we have to always keep our hearts open. So come with me as we pray today. God, we just glorify you. We know, oh God, that if you don't come and manifest yourself in this situation, if your Holy Spirit doesn't rain down upon us, if you, oh God, aren't present, then there's nothing that I can do, that no one can speak and make a difference. Only you, oh God, that if you come and you reside with us, then there will be transformation, there will be change. And we're asking for that change today. We're asking that we can understand and value this special day, your resurrection day and all that it entails. And as we come before you, we are trusting that you will make the changes in our lives and that we will be more transformed into your likeness. We thank you this morning. We trust you, and we embrace and open our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this is also our time for intercessory prayer. So we're going to take a moment, and we're going to have a prayer, a quick prayer for our country. We're going to have a quick prayer for those who are interceding on behalf of those who are unsaved. We're going to have a quick prayer for those who are sick and shut in, those who are on hospice, friends and family who are dealing with that. We want to have a prayer for our veterans, those who've been in war, those who are in transition. We ask a special blessing for my friends and loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. God, we come before you, and you've heard the requests that have been placed before you. We ask that you would touch the hearts, first of all, Lord, of our president and vice president, that you would bless them abundantly, that you would bless our new Supreme Court, Justice to be Ketanji Brown Jackson, and we ask that you bless her family and protect them as well. But we ask that you would bless our governors in our state. We ask that you would bless our mayors in our cities. We ask that you would bless every VA across the country and every veteran. Lord, as we come before you, we are seeking your face today. Lord, we have churches that are open to you today. We have people who are going to churches that have not been back since COVID. We're asking that you would keep them safe and protect them, Lord. We're asking that as we go forward, Lord, you would make it clear what all is taking place so that we could continue to gather, understanding that you, Lord, are coming back and that everything that has happened is happening according to your word. You are creating this one world order. You are setting things up for the Antichrist to take over. You, oh God, are preparing to come and take your church out. But Lord, let us be ready, oh God. Let us not be slothful or weary in doing that which you have called us to do. And Lord, I heard you clearly say that every minister, every preacher, every teacher should come and gather and preach and teach a word so that your people, the people in this world, could be saved and that they could have a relationship with you. So I'm inviting each and every preacher who hears this word today, that they would come and bring their gift of preaching and teaching so that we can grow and we can give you everything that you've requested, oh God. Not about money, not about how much are we going to get paid. It's about being obedient to your word. We trust and believe you, oh God, and we will act accordingly. We ask these blessings in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. The scripture today is coming from John, the 21st chapter, the 12th to the 19th verse. And the topic of discussion is after breakfast, then what? An excerpt from Max Lucado's He Moves Stones, which I love the book. of John 21:1-12. He says, "The sun was in the water before Peter noticed it, a wavy circle of gold on the surface of the sea. A fisherman is usually the first to spot the sun rising over the crest of the hills. It means his night of labor is finally over. But not for this fisherman. Though the light reflected on the lake, the darkness lingered in Peter's heart. The wind chilled, but he didn't feel it. His friends slept soundly, but he didn't care. His thoughts were far from the Sea of Galilee. His mind was in Jerusalem, reliving an anguished night. As the boat rocked, his memories raced. The clanking of the Roman guard, the flash of a sword, the duck of a head, a touch from Malchus, a rebuke from Peter, soldiers leading Jesus away. What was I thinking?" Peter mumbled to himself as he stared at the bottom of the boat. "Why did I run?" Peter had run. He had turned his back on his dearest friend and run. We don't know where. Peter may not have known where. He found a hole, a hut, an abandoned shed. He found a place to hide, and he hid. So Peter is in the boat on the lake. Once again, he fished all night. Once again, the sea has surrendered nothing. His thoughts are interrupted by a shout from the shore. "Catch any fish?" Peter and John looked up. Probably a villager. "No," they yelled. "Try the other side," the voice yells back. John looks at Peter. "What harm?" So out sails the net. Peter wraps the rope around his wrist to wait. But there was no weight. The rope pulls and the net catches. Peter sets his weight against the side of the boat and begins to bring in the net, reaching down, pulling up, reaching down, pulling up. He's so intense with the task, he misses the message. But John doesn't. The moment is deja vu. This has happened before: the long night, the empty net, the call to cast again, fish flapping on the floor of the boat. "Wait a minute." He lifts his eyes to the man on the shore. "It's him," he whispers. "Then louder, it's Jesus." Then shouting, "It's the Lord, Peter. It's the Lord." Peter turns and looks. Jesus has come. Not Jesus the teacher, but Jesus the death defeater. Jesus King. Jesus the victor over darkness. Jesus the God of heaven and earth is on the shore. Peter plunges into the water, swims to the shore, and stumbles out wet and shivering and stands in front of the friend he betrayed. Jesus has prepared a bed of coals. Both are aware of the last time Peter had stood near a fire. Peter had failed God, but God had come to him, and Peter is once again finding grace at Calvary. What do you say at a moment like this? It's just you and God. You and God both know what you did, and neither of you is proud of it. What do you do? Jesus breaks the silence and says, I want to read the scripture, John 21:12-19, the NIV version. "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you," Jesus said. "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. After breakfast, then what? 2 weeks after the stolen steak deal, my friend Jim took his 9-year-old grandson Luke and his 4-year-old grandson Isaac to the Dayton Mall to do a little shopping. And as he drove up, they spotted this huge 18-wheeler parked with a big sign on it that said Petting Zoo. Now, this petting zoo consisted of a portable fence erected in the mall just outside the Sears store with about 6 inches of sawdust and 100 little furry baby animals of all kinds. Kids paid their money to stay in the enclosed enrapture with the squirmy little creature. These little critters while their moms and dads would shop. And jumping up and down in a rush, the kids begged to go. Sure, he told them, flipping them both a quarter before walking into Sears. They bolted away toward the enclosure, and he felt free to take his time looking for a scroll. So, being assured by the attendee that the kids would be fine. A few minutes later, he turned around and saw Helen walking along behind him. He was shocked to see that she preferred the hardware department to the petting zoo. Recognizing his error, he bent down and asked her what was wrong. And she looked up at Jim with those giant brown eyes and said sadly, well, Daddy, it cost 50 cents, so I gave Brandon my quarter. Then she said the most beautiful thing I've ever heard, the family motto, love is action. She had given Brandon her quarter, and no one loves cuddly, furry creatures more than Helen. She had watched her mother, Sandy, take my steak and say, love is action. She had watched both of us do and say, love is action. For years around the house, she had heard and seen, love is action. And now she had incorporated it into her own little lifestyle. It had become part of her. What do you think he did? He took Helen to the petting zoo, and together they stood by the fence and watched Brandon go crazy petting and feeding the animals. Helen stood with her hands and chin resting on the fence and just watched Brandon. He had 50 cents burning a hole in his pocket, and he never offered it to Helen, and she never asked for it. Helen knew the whole family motto. It's not love is action. Love is sacrificial action. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue to another's account. Love is for you, not for me. Love gives. It doesn't grab. Helen gave her quarter to Brandon and wanted to follow through with her lesson. She knew she had to taste the sacrifice. She wanted to experience that total family motto. Love is sacrificial action. And this is what Easter is all about, love as sacrificial action. This is what Jesus was asking from Peter. Do you love me? Put it in action. And this is what Easter is all about, folks, love as sacrificial action. This is what Jesus was asking from Peter. Do you love me? Put it in action. Here in John 21, we find Jesus teaching here. Peter 3, important lesson about love in action. First, sacrificial love in action requires that you renew the loyalty of your relationship with Christ. Renew your loyalty with your relationship with Christ. See, God wants spiritual and relational vitality from us. The greatest commandment of all was to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This was the first and greatest commandment. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew 25, 35 through 40, all of the law and prophets are summarized by a commandment to love God. This is spiritual vitality. The strongest indicator that our love for God is pure and obedient is when it results in a more faithful and effective expression of love for others. Like two sides to the same coin, sacrificial love for our neighbors with all of their idiosyncrasies and brokenness is impossible unless we have a deep sense of the presence and power of God's love in our lives. The strongest indicator that our love is pure and obedient is when it results in a more faithful and effective expression of love for others. When we are out of balance, it diminishes our vitality and our capacity to influence our world. Sacrificial love in action requires, yes, it does, that you renew the loyalty of your relationship with Christ. The second lesson that Jesus teaches is that sacrificial love in action requires that you affirm, come on, your responsibility, that you reaffirm your responsibility. Brenda Goodline shares a story about her friend who decided to talk to her bright 4-year-old son, Benji, about receiving Christ. Benji, she asked quietly, would you like to have Jesus in your heart? Benji thought for a few minutes. And then rolled his big eyes and answered, no, I don't think I want the responsibility. You see, Benji thought for a few moments. And he realized that what many Christians still have not figured out, that salvation is a free gift, but it comes with some strings attached. Service is not an option. Come on, somebody, for a follower of Jesus. It is a natural outgrowth of our relationship with Christ. Are you putting sacrificial love in action by reaffirming your responsibility? I feel that many believers are lacking the prerequisites to maturity. Responsibility I don't think that many Christians have figured out that salvation is a free gift, but it comes with some strings attached. Service is not an option for a follower of Jesus.
It's a natural outgrowth of our relationship with Christ. Are you putting sacrificial love in action by reaffirming your responsibility? You see, I feel that many believers are lacking the prerequisites to maturity, to responsibility. Everyone has been commissioned for responsibility, and God has given to every person a duty or a job to accomplish, but only those who are responsible will accomplish those duties, will put sacrificial love in action. You see, the ancient Romans had a tradition. Whenever one of their engineers constructed an ark as a capstone for the final center, stone was hoisted into place. The engineer assumed the responsibility for the work in the most profound way possible. He had to stand on top of the arch. Did you hear what he said? He had to stand on top of the arch. He had to believe in the work that he was doing. So how many of us can stand on the arch of our family structure, knowing that it will be secure? How many of us could stand on the arch of our church, knowing that it will not crumble because we've held onto our responsibility? The church is dying because our responsibilities are no longer taken seriously. Believers turn their back on God because they lose sight of their responsibility and their commitment. It's my prayer that everyone today can stand on the arch of every area in which God has gifted them for kingdom work and know that it will not crumble. How? By realizing that carried out responsibility always equals sacrificial love and action. How real is that? When you're faithful in your service and in your job, how real that is in your work, how real that is in your duties, God will honor you. Proverbs 12:11 reads, hard work means prosperity, a growing, healthy spirit, filled church that meets the social, spiritual, and physical needs of her community. And friends, hard work is only accomplished by those who take their work seriously. See, God wants your family to prosper. God wants your employment to prosper. God wants church to prosper and for your spiritual health to grow. But if you do not carry out your responsibilities in those areas, it's almost as if when the Lord asks you to, do you love him? You respond by saying, sure. As a result, you tie the hands of God from moving in your life. I love you, but I'm not willing to sacrifice my developing my gift and using it for your glory. I love you, but just like God had to ask Peter three times to get Peter to take a closer look and assess where he really was, God is saying the same to you today. Proverbs 14:23 declares, work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Translated, no work, no job, no family, no church. We break the bank in our family. We break the bank in our church, in our children, and so many other areas because we talk a lot, but do little with responsibility. Abraham Lincoln once said, you cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. You see, sacrificial love in action requires that you renew the loyalty of your relationship with Christ. Sacrificial love in action requires that you reaffirm your responsibility. And the third lesson Jesus teaches is that sacrificial love in action calls us to rededicate our lives, to commit to God to the point of being willing to die for Christ. So raise your hand, men, and let me know how many of you would mind if your wives or girlfriends had two or three lovers outside of their relationships with you. Now, how many of you would die to protect them like Doran Starter did protecting his wife in the Arizona shooting years ago? Women, Now, I want those of you to raise your hand if you would mind if your husbands or boyfriends had a lover or two on the side. Now, how many of you would sacrifice your lives for your husbands? That's exactly how God feels when you spend more time taking your kids to sporting events than you do in teaching them to have a personal relationship with God. That's exactly how God feels when all you do is profess your relationship and not possess it. That's exactly how God feels when you are only hearers of the word and not doers, when you don't have a thirst and hunger to grow and learn who God is and who you are in God. That's exactly how God feels, and the response is to follow your example. You see, when Jesus asked Peter the third time, "Do you love me?" He was calling for Peter to rededicate his life to him. The first time Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" He was teaching that sacrificial love in action requires that you renew the loyalty of your relationship with Christ. The second time Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" He was teaching that sacrificial love in action requires that you reaffirm your responsibility. The third time Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" He was teaching that sacrificial love in action calls us to rededicate our lives, to commit to God to the point of being willing to die for Christ. You see, after the lessons, Jesus invited Peter to respond, not with words, but with sacrificial love in action. Jesus simply says in verse 19, "Follow me." We got to look at this response to God. God is inviting us to work with him inevitably leads us to a decision. It does. We must make a choice. And that choice is always based on faith, not on sight. We cannot see all of the paths down which that choice will lead. So the faith that this decision demands is described as belief and action. To join God, to accept God's will for our lives, to resolve to obey his call, to join him in his purposes, and to enjoy his presence begins in our profession of faith and continues in our practice of faith. This faith is a lively faith. This is a belief that motivates to action. For faith does not exist where one finds only belief or where one finds only action. This lively faith is a characteristic of the people of God. This may be described as belief, but one must be cautious that we do not allow a mere mental process to replace a wholehearted response to God's invitation. You see, joining God in God's work requires always for every person a major adjustment in life. In Scripture, it's called repentance. Repentance cannot and does not precede some understanding of God. That we join God merely reflects a necessary response on our part. Such is not a denial that God has initiated and that God will accept and bind us to him and his people. We come to know God through observing God's world, through hearing God's word, and through learning more and more about the word. Jesus Christ, his ultimate communication to humanity. We come to know God and in the depths of that word to experience God only as we obey God and God works God's work in us and through us. First, God has a plan. God is at work before anything else. God has a purpose and is acting always according to that purpose. And secondly, God reveals God's self, God's person, God's plan, and God's power through God's word to those God desires to be God's people. And third, in God's work and in God's revelation, God initiates, come on somebody, a loving relationship with God's creation, which has been separated from him through sin. God's initiation of relationship is unconditional, not based on anything inherent within humanity, but is based on the nature of God who is love. The unconditional initiation of relationship is an expression of God's grace. And fourth, God's invitation to involvement must be accepted. Our acceptance of the invitation requires a decision on our part. That decision must be based upon and reflect a faith which couples belief and action. That faith must be professed and practiced. Fifth, joining God and God's work requires major life adjustments in a process the Bible refers to as repentance. And sixth, the ultimate knowledge and experience of God comes only to those who obey God so that God can work God's work in and through them. So after we feasted on the word of God, now what? I don't know about you, but for me, the die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I love the Lord. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My presence makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, and tame visions. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, learned by faith, loved by patience, lifted by prayer, and I labor by power, for my pace is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, or negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. For I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am his forevermore. After breakfast, after you supped on the word of God, then what? It's up to you what you're going to do. Accept him as your Lord and Savior today. Amen. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So as we go forward in this service, we just wanted to say thank you. We just want to celebrate. We just want to know who we are and whose we are. So if you have listened to that word today, and if something inside of you is saying the time is now, that you don't have forever, that you need to have a relationship with God that is settled and set, and if you know that and you sense in your heart that this is true for you, then I ask that you repeat these words to me. My Lord and Savior, I have fallen so short of the glory. And I come to you, Lord, and confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Christ has risen from the dead for my sins, and I will be with him forevermore because I accept him as my Lord and Savior. And because of that, death will have no sting and grave will have no victory as I rise with my Lord and Savior in the end. Lord, I know you're coming back, and I want to be with you. So I thank you in the name of Jesus, and I receive that I'm a child of God forevermore. If you said that with me, if you said that in your heart, if you believe that, then know right now that you are truly a child of God. And we will celebrate with you on this Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Feel free to join in with us as we worship every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Love Connection. And if you listen in, we'll be adding more and more material of preaching and teaching because Jesus coming back. God's blessings be with you. Feel free to call back in at 646-478-4932.